Hey, clap offering for the Lord. Can you imagine being a part of just thousands of people coming to Christ? In a land, in a place where no one has ever had the opportunity to hear the gospel? Can you imagine being a part of seeing thousands and hundreds of churches and groups planted because with no other work that's ever been done in this area? You know, I marvel because 21 years ago when we started walking these villages, we would walk in the villages and we would be the first believers ever to set foot in one of these places. Ever. And I don't want it to be lost on us. I don't want this to be lost on us. I know that there's tremendous need here, and I know there's tremendous need there, and I just want to tell you, you are the answer to the need here and to the need there. Amen? The question somebody asks is, what do we do at home? Well, what do you do at home? That's a big question. What do you do at home? What are you doing right now, right here, in this area, to be light to someone who's lost? Because I want to tell you, there's places that are void of Jesus. And we all know that you don't have to go overseas to see it. Sometimes you can step right out your front door and see the void. And see the wilderness. And see the desert in people's lives. I want to do something right now, just kind of off the cuff. I want you to turn to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. And Lord has just been speaking to me over the past few days from Isaiah 32 and 35. And I want to maybe just kind of move and do something off the cuff today. Is that okay? Yeah, so save your notes for next week, maybe. We'll see if this works. Okay. 35 verse 1. Watch this. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. Watch. And the Arabah, which is the driest of all. It's the driest of all dry. It's the arid of all arid. It's the wilderness of all wilderness. And he says the Arabah will rejoice and blossom like the crocus, and it will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy, and the glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon, and they will see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have felt in recent days that you've just kind of been either in the wilderness or in a desert, or you're kind of close to it? How many of you have just kind of sensed that or felt that? There's just been kind of a dryness or an aridness about your Christian life and your word, your work with Christ. God, I want to tell you what I'm hearing. I've had the opportunity to speak in a couple of places this month, and what I'm hearing is, oh, we're just so busy. And there's nothing like busyness and being busy, even doing good things, that would zap the moisture out of your life. Just take the moisture right out. And before you know it, you look like a spiritual prune. Not real pretty. But spiritually dried up, cracked lips. Sunburn, peeling. Because I'm in a desert. Because I'm in the wilderness. And I was sharing with elders this morning. I woke up the other day reading this and just felt like in some ways I've been in a desert and a wilderness. Some ways. Hear what I'm saying. Because there are lots of great things going on and God speaks. But in some areas of my life, as far as personal study and personal preparation and personal devotion and having my time with God, I've been kind of in a desert. Now, God's been faithful. God has been very faithful. But you know, I just got such great encouragement on Tuesday morning when I opened this, Thursday morning when I opened this and it said, the wilderness in the desert is going to be glad. It's going to be glad. And you know, they're folks that that Craig will be going to, they're kind of in a desert right now. And their fears and their worries and their anxieties and their disappointments about their churches closing and authorities saying you can't meet. Can you imagine someone coming in here today and said, you cannot meet anymore? We shut this place down. And not only this place, but every other place that you might have the opportunity to go to. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but I would just feel like a desert. That I'm being choked out. But here's the question. In your relationship with God, in your relationship with Him, have you felt at any portion of that time that I've been in a desert here. I've been in a wilderness here. Maybe there's some people in your life that are in the wilderness. They are in the desert. They're in the Araba. They're in places that there's just no moisture. There's no living water. And you know what? The Bible says that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. When he talks about that being the Holy Spirit of God coming out of your life and bringing moisture and rain and cool, refreshing water to people. And that's why he'll go on and he'll say this. Say, listen, I'm going to tell you there's going to be a work. There's going to be a movement of God and such that... Go back to the first verse, please, Robin. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. That's a promise of God. You know, I noticed in when I first came to this area, and I'd never heard this before, but after a rain, you'd go into Dairy Queen and they'd ask the first question they ask, how much rain did you get? I thought, that is so strange. How much rain? Didn't you see on the news how much rain you got? It's how much rain you got. You got what they said you got. And all of a sudden they say, well, I got 2/10. And I got 1 1/10. That sounds like a Baptist preacher. We had 33.5 people here today. And I just thought that was just so odd to me. Until I got a rain gauge. And then I started saying, well, I got 1.5 inches. You know. And you know, it's always great when you got more than the rest got, isn't it? Like a badge of honor. I think about that sometimes, and I think, how much rain you getting? How much rain did you get last night in your study? How much rain did you get? How much rain of the Spirit of God came on you, if you could measure it? The Bible says He gives the Spirit without measure. Amen? Well, how much rain did you get? And how much rain are you getting? Because I want to tell you, you don't know until you position yourself to find out how much you're getting. And you know when it rains, it rains. But I want to tell you, I want to ask the question, when you're walking in this life, in this season of your life, are you experiencing the rain of God? Because I want to tell you this, it's raining. He's never ever stopped raining. He's never ever stopped giving the Spirit of God. He's never ever stopped it. Let me tell you, He's never stopped it. And you may think it, and you may act like it, and you may believe that. But I want to tell you, there is a faucet, or whatever you want to call, that wants to run constantly through your life. Constantly. And when I think about dryness, yeah, there's some times that I find myself where I'm in the Word, but just the Word just isn't as alive as it was before. And I'm trying to do my best to do it, to find that Word and to be in that place I'm supposed to be in. But I think about my life, and I think about all the things that God has done and all the things that God has spoken. And I'm just telling you, I'm really glad I can't, I'm saying that I'm not in the desert or the wilderness, but I've been on the edges. But even if you are in the middle of a dry place, I want to just speak this in a very encouraging way. The wilderness and the desert in your life is going to be glad. that God wants to produce the fruit of beautiful flowers in your life. Just to say that, when they, people look at your life, they see the life of God. So when we get to this next verse, notice what he says to us. Notice what he says for us to be about. He says, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. There are exhausted people in your life that need to be encouraged. They're exhausted people wherever we go, at your job, at the playgrounds or the sports fields. There are always people who need to be encouraged, not egged on, encouraged. And there are people in your life that are absolutely, totally exhausted. And you may be here today and you say, well, I'm one of those. I'm exhausted. Well, let me encourage you today. Let me say you don't have to be exhausted. Listen, I'm not saying that you need to go change your schedule. Maybe you need to. I'm not saying what you need to do with your life. What I do know with beyond a shadow of a doubt is when I am seeking Jesus first, when I'm loving him most, and I'm seeking the one thing that we often talk about, which is the presence of God, I want to tell you, I believe that life flows out of that. And you get to, you get to be an encourager. You get to be an influencer in people's lives. But if you go to work and you're over stressed and people hear you grumbling and complaining, let me tell you, you're going to get just as exhausted as they are. You and I have this awesome opportunity to be an incredible influence in the people of this world that are exhausted and feeble. I get to say to the anxious in heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God's going to come with vengeance. Yes, he's going to come with vengeance, and the recompense of God will come. But guess what? He's going to save you. He's going to see you. You're the one he's going to save. You're the one he's going to deliver. You're the one he's going to touch. And I think, again, when I look at these things about folks fearing and walking in fear and anxious in heart, we have the promise of this God that comes to save us, to deliver us, to do this awesome, awesome work in our lives. But listen to me, not just ours, to everyone we touch and to everyone we come in contact to. I have this opportunity today. You and I have this opportunity to, by the power of the Spirit of God, by the living water that's coming out of our lives, to encourage the exhausted, to strengthen the feeble, to say those anxious in heart, those who are fearing, to take courage. God comes to deliver. And I want you to notice what happens to this place. I want you to know what happens to these people. The eyes of the blind are opened. People get to see. They get to see Jesus. They get to see God. They get to see the answers to the problems. They get to see the solutions. They get to see what Jesus comes to do. They come to see how God, as we sang in that first song together, how God lifted you up and lifted you out. They get to see it. And I want to ask you, church, are they seeing you? Is this what they're seeing in your life? Is this what they're seeing in my life? He says, the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. Why? Because waters are coming, and they're going to break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Araba. A scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and in the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass now becomes reeds and rushes, and a highway will be there. It's a roadway, and it'll be called the highway of holiness. And listen, the unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it, and no lion will be there, nor any vicious beast to go up on it. And you know, I always think about when I see lion or I see beast, I always think about them, the spirits of this world, the enemy, the roaring lion that seeks someone to devour, the beast of the field. And we got this promise here, this great promise, that as we walk in this life and we walk in this way, and as water comes and streams come and they break forth and flowers are blooming and fruits coming off trees and fruits coming off of lives, there's a highway of holiness. It's this holiness highway that we're becoming more and more and more like Him. And I'm going to tell you, no unclean thing can travel on it. No unclean thing can travel on it, He says. There's no fools on it. There's no lion there. There's no vicious beast that go up to it. And they will not be found there. But watch this. But the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with shoutful, joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads, and they will find gladness and joy. And watch this. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. I tell you, I do understand in many ways, in a spiritual sense, that this is, we talk about heaven and the things of heaven and the things of life, but I don't want to just talk about heaven and seeing heaven. I want you to see, and always want you to see, that God wants to do something here on earth in your life right now, right here. A little bit of heaven right here in a very dark place. A little bit of influence, a little bit of absolute total commitment to the, well, not just a little bit, but a bunch. I want to ask you, church, are you in a dry place? Is your marriage dry? Is there this longing for just the Spirit of God to come and to move in a mighty, mighty way? You have the opportunity to encourage, to speak life into people. And I really do believe this is what Jesus talks about. This is what Jesus is talking about when He's meeting up with the disciples who are afraid. You want to talk about something that's changed in their lives? I mean, it's all changed. They've followed Jesus for 3 years. They've left everything to follow Him, and all of a sudden, He's gone. Oh, there's testimony that He's risen. The Scripture says they just doubt. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe, can you go back to first one? Do you believe that the wilderness and the deserts of your life can be transformed? They can be transformed. And I know how easy it is to doubt that. Go to 3. Do I believe that I can get to a place that even though I might be busy, I'm not exhausted and feeble? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Next verse. Do you believe that I can walk in such a way that even though circumstances may not change, that I can walk in a way that I'm not anxious in heart, that I'm not fearful, but I'm walking in the courage and under the courage of Almighty God? Is it right? Next verse. Do I believe that God opens blinded eyes and opens the ears of the deaf? Do I believe that? Do I believe that lame can leap like a deer? I'm going to talk to you, the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. Yeah, absolutely. This is the transformation power of God. But it's so easy to doubt. Is it not? I think our fallen nature got really wired really quick to doubt. Right? Now, I did tell you we're going to talk about Thomas, and I think this is a good way to mention Thomas in this scene from last week. And so I want you to turn to John chapter 20. You know, Jesus comes in the middle of the night, and they're locked up, afraid. Because they're afraid that what happened to Jesus and what they saw they do to Jesus, they were going to do to them. Enemy has struck, has absolutely totally struck the shepherd, and the sheep have scattered. And they're in this room, they're locked up in it. They're scared to death. They're afraid of the Jews. They're afraid of the persecution. They're afraid of what might be coming. And so when Jesus appears to him, we saw last week, peace be with you. And we talked about peace and the things that make for peace. And you're going to notice that not only does he say that, but he gives us this peace to deal with life. He says in verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you." So there's purpose. We'll talk about that hopefully next week. And then he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's the power of God that comes upon you and the work of the Spirit that lasts all your life. The work of God's Spirit. But look at verse 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus," that means twin, "was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe.' In 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came. The doors haven't been shut, and he stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.' And he said to Thomas, 'Hey, Thomas, I want you to reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said, 'Oh, my Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Because you've seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." I want to say one thing. Or a couple of things. I hate what history says about Thomas. I hate that. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Oh, you're doubting Thomas. Oh, you don't think God can do it. You're just a doubter like Thomas. I want to remind you of something about Thomas. You know, when they were going to raised Lazarus from the dead, and they were really concerned about him going back to that area because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Do you know what Thomas says? "Let's go with Jesus and let's go die with him." Now, I know some of the disciples, like Peter, would say some things that, you know, they didn't follow through with. Because to be honest with you, not only Thomas, but all of them except John were scattered. Only John remained with Jesus to the very end. They were all doubters. I think about all the people in history, or biblical history, or God history that just doubted. And I was thinking about this just the other day. You know, there's an admonition of Scripture, and it's found in Jude, and it's Jude 1:22. And Jude, remember, is the brother of Jesus, who in John 7 did not believe Jesus. But I want you to notice what he says to them, or what he says in his book. He says, "Have mercy on some who are doubting." To me, calling you a doubting Thomas is not very merciful. It's not. Have mercy on some who are doubting. Hey, there's some doubting. Don't crush them. Don't rebuke them. Don't tell them something they already know. Have mercy on them. Have mercy on those who are doubting. Have mercy on those who are struggling in their faith, who are struggling to believe. Have mercy. Let me ask you, have you ever doubted? Man, I only got 3 doubters in here. Staff, we must be doing a good job. We've all doubted. We've all doubted the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. We've all doubted when things are going wrong with our kids. And we say things, God, like, "God, why would you allow that to happen?" And I mean, I'm just telling you, the things that come out of our mouth, they're words of doubt. And we all have them. And the Bible says, have mercy on some. They're doubting. I don't know about you, but when I'm doubting, I want the mercy of God. I want the mercy of God. I want to ask God, "God, would you birth within me a faith to believe and be believing and not unbelieving? I don't want to be unbelieving. I want to walk in faith. I want to walk in this belief that says that you're God and you're Lord and that you're sovereign and that you're a good God and you do great things." But I think sometimes we just give people a bad rap. We rebuke them. We condemn them. Don't do that. Help them. Help them. Come alongside. Help them. You know, I look at Matthew 28:17, when he's gathered them together, and the Bible says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. You remember that? But some doubted. See, I believe with all my heart today that if you're in a desert, that God wants to take you out of the desert, or he wants to transform the desert into a wonderful pool of water for you so that you might be refreshed in the middle of a desert. He wants to bring fruit in your desert time. And the question is, will I be believing or will I be unbelieving? And this is what he says. That's what he says to Thomas. Thomas, listen, I'm going to show you myself. I'm going to give you 8 days, but I'm going to show some mercy to you. I'm going to reveal yourself to me. Listen, Jesus didn't have to reveal himself to him. Jesus didn't have to do that, but Jesus did it. He did it anyway. I just think that just, if that's what you need, I'll give it to you. But listen, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. Amen. But I'm going to be merciful. It's delayed mercy. For whatever the purposes of God was. But I'm going to show you, I'm going to show myself to you. And you'll have this opportunity to respond. And he does, he responds. He says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And it's like, I don't need to put my fingers in it. I don't need to eat my words. I don't need to do any of those things. I just see, I'm seeing you, you've revealed yourself to me, and I believe. I believe. He showed mercy. I think about John the Baptist. Did you know John the Baptist doubted? John the Baptist. John the Baptist, we don't ever say, oh, don't be a John the Baptist doubter. Or don't be a doubting John the Baptist. Don't be a doubting Peter. No, it's Thomas. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Bad rap. You know, it's found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Matthew 11, verse 2. And just real quickly, just if you'll turn there, and I'll read it even if you don't get there. Chapter 11, verse 2. When John, while in prison, heard the works of Jesus, and he sent word by his disciples, and he said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? Sounds like a little doubt to me. I mean, think about it. Think about it with me. Do you know the first time it was revealed to John that Jesus was the Son of God? While he was in his mother's womb. Utero. He was in utero. He was in the womb. And God revealed it to this child in the womb that the presence of God is in his midst. And he leaps with joy in the womb. And that's what his mother says. Oh, how the mother of my Lord has come to see me. You're not just some kin of mine. You're not just some cousin. You're the mother of my Lord, because when your voice reached me, your greeting reached me, my baby, destined to be the proclaimer of Jesus Christ, was jumping for joy. And then when Jesus was baptized, my beloved son whom I'm well pleased, he's the one. And so John the Baptist has heard the word, he's seen Jesus, he's seen the work of Christ, he hears the work of Christ, and so what's the deal? Even John the Baptist doubted. Even John the Baptist doubted. I think about Peter. You know, Peter was on the Sea of Galilee, and it's a rough night, and it's a rough seas, and they see Jesus, and Jesus walking on water, and all of a sudden, this is found in Matthew chapter 14, and all of a sudden, he asked a bold question, hey, can I come out to where you are? And Jesus said, yeah, of course you can. Come on out. And all you got to do is ask. I love that, right? Hey, can I come out to you? Yeah. Gets out of the boat, walks on water, right? And he's got his eyes on Jesus. And the moment he gets his eyes off of Jesus and realizes I'm doing something I should not, cannot scientifically do. I'm walking on water. And he looks at the waves and he looks at the storm and he begins to sink. And Jesus says it. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? In the mercy of Jesus, in my mind, it doesn't say this, but I just believe with all my heart, I don't think they swam back to the boat. I believe in all my heart he took him out, put him back up on his feet on the water, and they walked back to the boat. The mercy of God. Yeah, there's a little question. Maybe it's a little rebuke. Hey, I've been rebuked before. Rebuke is not a bad thing. Listen to me. Rebuke's not a bad thing. When it's done in love, a rebuke is not a bad thing. Amen. It's a good thing. But they know Jesus loves them. They know it with all their heart. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? In all your stuff, in all your things, and all that's going on, in your ailments, in your aging, in your financial difficulties, in some of your relationship difficulties, are you in a desert of doubt? Are you in a desert that borders on unbelief? And it's really the question that says, can God really do that? Can God really pull me out of the water and we walk back to the boat? Even after I've kind of messed up. I mean, you look at Peter who blew it. And instead of confessing Christ, denied him three times. You want to talk about doubt? That's a doubt. But yet the mercy of God came and restored him. And prophetically said, this is your destiny. Your destiny is to love me like I love you. Your destiny is to love me and to feed my sheep. Your destiny is to love me so much that one day you'll die for me. That's your destiny. And I'm going to increase your faith. So you're doubting. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody. Maybe you've been hurt by a string of people. And you're doubting the goodness of God. And you're doubting the goodness of God's people, his church. I just want to say this word. In the name of Jesus, stop that. Stop that. Let's believe in the awesome promises of God and watch our deserts be glad and watch God increase our faith and watch God move in us like never before. Father God, you have done such great things in our lives. And you know, Lord, you know, I just think about my own life. I'll get through one trial and I go, oh God, you've been so good. And then I'll face another one and then I'll doubt. And why would I doubt when I see what's in your word? Because Lord, I have seen. I have seen. I have seen the glory of God in the midst of very hard times. That you're a God who makes promises and fulfills those promises. And I want to ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we'd be so aware of those great promises of God. And I ask, God, that we would just put these things on the altar, Lord, today. We put our doubt and I'll put our unbelief and we'll put the dryness of the desert time. Lord, we just put it at your feet today. And we ask, God, that you'd move, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way. God, come. Remove our doubts. Remove our fears. Remove our anxious thoughts. Come, remove these things in our lives. I want to thank you for the word in Isaiah 35. Because, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I believe moisture is here. The living water is here. I pray that you'd pour down your Spirit upon our lives in such a way that rivers of living water would flow out of our mouths, out of our lives, from our innermost being, would flow rivers of living water so that we would give life to desert places. God, I ask this In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I just want to, I don't know if there's anybody here that needs prayer today. You know, you might need some prayer right after service. So I'm going to ask, Teresa, could you be up here? Just, you don't have to go there yet, but Teresa, stand up. She'll be available for any of you. I'm going to ask, hey, Richard and Myra, could y'all be available up here for anybody in prayer? And it's good to have the Fries here. Would y'all be available up here just to come on up right after to pray with anybody? Okay. All right. Good. Hey, let's stand together. Let's do a blessing. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. And may he remember all your gifts, all your giving, all your sacrifices. May he remember them all. May he grant you your heart's desire. May he fulfill all your counsel. Let's sing for the joy over our victory. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions, all your prayers. Because we know the Lord saves his anointed. Some boast in chariots, some in horses. We'll boast in the name of the Lord our God. They've bowed and fought down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Oh God, save us. May God save you. May the King answer you in the day you call. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right, these folks will be up for prayer.